From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, commentary, and so forth. Also, we will play some songs. Well listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz, 4750 kHz, and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo and President Erdogan discuss bilateral partnerships via a phone call. NPR Chairman Bambang Susatyo praises Bali's effort to boost economic recovery. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo had reportedly talked to Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan in a phone call at the Bogor Presidential Office, West Java, on Sunday afternoon. In a government official statement, it was reported that both presidents had wished each other a happy Eid al-Adha and continued to discuss about bilateral partnerships. According to the release from the Indonesian Presidential Palace, President Joko Widodo started the call by wishing a festive Eid Mubarak for President Erdogan, First Lady Amin, and the people of Turkey. The same was reiterated by President Erdogan. Then both of them continued to speak about the increasing bilateral partnerships between the two nations and also establishing a possible partnership in the handling of the COVID-19 pandemic. President Joko Widodo also mentioned his hopes for President Erdogan's future visits to Indonesia in a bid to establish more concrete bilateral partnerships post-COVID-19 pandemic. Chairman of People's Consultative Assembly Bambang Susatyo praised Balinese people's consistency in practicing preventive measures mandated in health protocols to help boost the economic recovery of this Indonesia's world-class tourism destination. The implementation of the government's mandated health protocols was observed in the Balinese people's daily lives and along with traditional guards, locally known as pacalang, as of villages monitor it. In Bali, under the tight surveillance of the pacalangs, each villager wanting to venture outdoors must have their village head's permit. They are also obliged to wear face masks. The violators of these mandated health protocols would be given social sanctions such as providing 5 kilograms of rice, sweeping roads, and cleaning public facilities. The Indonesian government is preparing a presidential regulation on renewable energy pricing in a bid to gain investors' trust in the clean energy sector. Director General of Renewable Energy and Energy Conservation at the Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry, FX Sutiastoto, said in a statement on Sunday, August 2, that the draft of the regulation has been fully supported by business operators in the sector. He added that the draft regulation is expected to be completed before year-end. According to Sutiastoto, the current ministerial regulation has yet to successfully stimulate the signing of new contracts in renewable energy projects. Thereby, in establishing a competitive climate, the renewable energy price will be regulated under the presidential regulation. The Indonesian government's endeavors to revive its tourism sector have won support from key players of the industry,
but a General Sudirman University's expert, Jus Meru, suggested that tourists must consistently practice health protocols to break the chain of COVID-19 pandemic. To this end, educating both domestic and foreign tourists about the importance of consistently practicing preventive measures mandated in the health protocols is indispensable to enable them to adapt to the new normal. Reopening tourism destinations in many regions of Indonesia would bring about positive impacts on the regions and local people's economy. But the revival of various tourism-related businesses should be carried out by respecting the health protocols. Jus Meru also remarked that to make sure that the health protocols are implemented, the local authorities need to conduct regular monitoring and evaluation in every tourism destination. Now we move to international news. Muslim pilgrims circled Islam's holy site along socially distanced path Sunday in the final ritual of the Hajj, the smallest in modern history as Saudi authorities sought to prevent a coronavirus outbreak. Only up to 10,000 Muslims took part in the Hajj, a far cry from the 2.5 million who took part in the 5-day annual pilgrimage last year. Instead of gathering the pebbles themselves as in past years, they were handed them back and sterilized by Hajj authorities to protect against the novel coronavirus. Pilgrims returned to the Grand Mosque in Mecca later Sunday to perform a final tawaf or circling of the Kaaba, a cubic structure towards which Muslims around the world pray. The Australian state of Victoria has declared a state of disaster and imposed new lockdown measures after a surge in coronavirus infections. Under the new rules, which came into effect on Sunday at 18 or 8 GMT, residents of the state capital Melbourne are subject to a nighttime curfew. There will be further restrictions on residents' ability to leave home. Premier Daniel Andrews said the new rules will remain in place until at least 13 September. The last item, the Philippines will reimpose a stricter coronavirus lockdown in and around the capital for 2 weeks from Tuesday, August 4, as the country struggles to contain infections that have jumped to more than 100,000 cases. President Rodrigo Duterte has approved placing Metro Manila and nearby provinces such as Laguna, Cavite, Rizal, and Bulacan under so-called modified enhanced community quarantine until August 18. Some businesses and public transport are expected to be closed in the capital, which is currently under the less restrictive general community quarantine classification. Work and quarantine passes will also be required as authorities seek to restrict movements. Duterte's move came after 80 local groups representing 80,000 doctors and a million nurses called for tighter controls, saying the country was losing the fight against the coronavirus. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
The 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence with the team Indonesia Onward. Happy 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitling Maros Pangkep, Next UNESCO Global Geopark. On July 2, 2020, the Toba Caldera, or better known as Lake Toba, was designated the UNESCO Global Geopark at the 209th session of the UNESCO Executive Council in Paris, France. At that time, the government of Indonesia succeeded in convincing the United Nations Agency for Education, Science, and Culture that the Toba Caldera had high geological links and traditional heritage with local communities, especially in terms of culture and biodiversity. In addition to the Toba Caldera or Lake Toba, there is another earth park in Indonesia which is also proposed as a UNESCO Global Geopark, the Maros Pangkep Earth Park in South Sulawesi. Through the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture, the Indonesian National Commission for UNESCO on Sunday officially submitted a letter of request that the Maros Pangkep Earth Park in South Sulawesi could become a UNESCO Global Geopark. Maros Pangkep Earth Park has been designated as a national geopark since November 24, 2017. The status was granted by the Indonesian National Geopark Committee at the Belitung Geopark National Seminar with the presentation of a certificate. The certificate is also the main requirement for the Maros Pangkep Geopark to be submitted as a UNESCO Global Geopark. One reason is because the area of more than 43,000 hectares is a karst area, which is an expanse of ancient rocks, ranks called the second most beautiful karst area in the world, after China. The karst region also holds a large geological wealth. Until now, there have been 4 geopark or earth park in Indonesia that have been designated as UNESCO Global Park. They are Mount Batur in Bali, Sewu Mountain in Yogyakarta, Ciletuh Palabuhan Ratu in West Java, Mount Rinjani in West Nusa Tenggara, and the Toba Caldera or Lake Toba on Samosir Island, North Sumatra. Many benefits are obtained from the entry of Indonesian National Geopark as a UNESCO Global Geopark. One of them in terms of tourism development. The geopark will be increasingly known to the world. This, of course, will increase the number of tourist visits. The government will certainly pay more attention to the development of tourism in the geopark, which can indirectly provide employment opportunities and increase income for the local community. In terms of environmental preservation, the area designated as UNESCO Global Geopark can function to preserve natural resources, conservation activities, and educate the public. Hopefully, the Indonesian Commission for UNESCO can convince the UN agency to make the Maros Pangkep Earth Park the next UNESCO Global Geopark Indonesia. The stipulation is expected to encourage economic development and sustainable development in the region. Through sustainable development, of course, there will be opportunities for local communities to promote local culture and products and create broader employment opportunities. However, at the same time, the government and local communities also have an obligation to improve and continue to preserve the environment and wholeness in the region. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Do the following to avoid virus infection when you are traveling. Keep your distance. If you see someone unhealthy, please maintain your distance. The minimum safe distance is 1 meter, but if the person is coughing, then the minimum distance is around 3 meters. Wash your hands with soap, especially if you keep interacting with other people. You can also use alcohol-based sanitizer to kill the germs.
cover your mouth and nose with your elbow or tissue when you are coughing or sneezing. If you are using tissue, throw it away immediately and then wash your hands. Avoid direct contact with living animals and any surfaces that had contacted with animals. Avoid consuming raw or half-cooked meat to avoid cross-contamination. Find medical treatment as soon as possible and then share your prior travel history with the health services if you are experiencing any health problems. From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
We start with the event on August 3, 1960, the Independence Day of Nigeria, which is commemorated every August 3rd, marks the independence of Nigeria from France in 1960. The Republic of Nigeria is a country which is surrounded with land in Western Africa. The name of this country is taken from the name of River Nigeria. In addition to its landlocked position, Nigeria faces serious challenges toward the development of poor education and poverty of its people, lack of infrastructure, poor healthcare service, and various environmental problems. Since its independence, Nigeria has lived under 5 constitutions and 3 periods of military rules. After a military coup in 2010, Nigeria has become a democratic country with multi-party state. Next event is that in 2005, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad was appointed as president of Iran. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is the 6th president of Iran. His presidency began on August 3, 2005. He is known widely as a conservative figure who is so loyal to the values of the Islamic Revolution of Iran. During his service, he returned many changes that were done by the previous mayors who were more moderate and reformist and concerned with religious values in activities in cultural centers. After 2 years as mayor of Tehran, Ahmadinejad was then elected as a new president of Iran. At the 2013 Iranian presidential election, he was replaced by a moderate conservative figure, namely Hassan Rouhani. The last event is that in 2005, the Mauritanian army staged a coup against President Muawiyah Ould Sid Ahmed Taya. Military personnel and members of the presidential guard forces in Mauritania staged a coup against President Muawiyah Ould Taya. The coup was done when President Muawiyah Ould Sid Ahmed Taya was in Saudi Arabia attending the King Fahd's funeral. The army took over the headquarters of the military, television, and radio stations of the government. The group called its name as the Military Council for Justice and Democracy announced the coup in a statement made by the state news agency on August 3, 2005. The coup was led by Colonel Ali Old Muhammad Fall and formed a military junta. The statement also explained that the military dictatorship would last for 2 years to prepare for the implementation of democratic institutions. Music. And listener, that was today in the story.
The 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence with the team Indonesia Onward. Happy 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence.
Dirimu sibuk dengan yang lain.
Listener Voice of Indonesia, the next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today is on Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources and UK Launch Low Carbon Energy Program. The Indonesian Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources is collaborating with the British government to launch the Mentari Program, which is Indonesian abbreviation for Menuju Transisi Energi Rendah Karbon Indonesia, or towards the Indonesian Low Carbon Energy Transition. This program aims to support efforts to restore an environmentally friendly economy in Indonesia. It was officially launched virtually by the Secretary General of the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources, Ego Syahrial, on Thursday, attended by the British Ambassador in Jakarta, Owen Jenkins. Ego Syahrial said in this program, the British government will share its experience with Indonesia regarding renewable energy projects. That way, Indonesia is expected to be able to realize the energy mix target by 23% in 2025. He added, Indonesia is committed to meeting renewable energy targets and reducing emissions. Ego Syahrial is optimistic that this program can realize inclusive economic growth and reduce poverty through the development of renewable energy. In its implementation, the Mentari program will provide support in aspects of policy development towards the creation of a better regulatory framework to create a more conducive renewable energy business climate. Through technical assistance, it will encourage private investment in new renewable energy projects, both on grid and off-grid, with a focus on Eastern Indonesia. This program will build a micro-scale network pilot projects that is integrated with productive business activities to increase community economic growth. Mentari will also build domestic and international partnerships to share best practices, knowledge, and innovations in the supply of new renewable energy. It will focus on providing renewable energy in disadvantaged, outermost, and eastern regions of Indonesia. Meanwhile, British Ambassador Owen Jenkins said Indonesia had the potential to become a superpower in the environmentally friendly energy sector. He hopes that the Mentari program can support the energy transition in Indonesia to face the challenges of global economic recovery, which is entering a critical decade in addressing climate change. The UK partnership through the Mentari program supports the development of clean energy in Indonesia. It is a transition process that enables the achievement of inclusive economic growth, poverty alleviation, access to safe and affordable energy, and reduced emission. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia, COVID-19 Disaster Response Radio.
Harib COVID-19 dibakoikum fil manazil.
Zusammen gegen Corona, wir bleiben zu Hause.
Stay at home, stay healthy, and together we can fight the coronavirus.
Bleib thuis, wasch je handen met zeep, draag je masker als je naar buiten gaat, neem de vitamine en zorg je gezondheid. Samen bestrijden we de coronavirus.
From Indonesia to the world.
Cause I know you wanna ask, scared the moment will pass. I can see it in your eyes, just take me by surprise. And all my friends, they tell me they see you're planning to get on one knee. But I want it to be high. having dinner, and baby, you're my winner. I see the way you smile, you're thinking about the owl. You reach in your pocket, emotions unlocking. And before you could ask, I answer too fast. And all my friends, they tell me they see you're planning to get on one knee. So now I can't stop thinking about you. I figured out all the clues, so now I ask, baby, take my hand.
Service Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener now will present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. Welcome back to Indonesian wonder. Today I'm going to let you know about Kado Bulo tradition from South Sulawesi. Stay tuned. Listener, Kado Bulo tradition is a tradition from the residents of Tamalalang Hamlet in Tamanyaleng Village, Barombong District, Kuarajansi, South Sulawesi Province. This village is about 10 kilometers from Makassar, the capital city of South Sulawesi. The Kado Bulo tradition in Makassar language means food cooked in bamboo. So, the food which is eaten at certain celebrations is cooked in bamboo. This food becomes the main dish that is served during the village's birthday celebration. For the local community, the tradition of Kado Bulo has its own meaning, namely a gathering of residents with relatives. Indeed, not a few residents or relatives who live far outside the city or even outside the island come to Tamalalang to attend this event. The Kado Bulo is a mixture of glutinous rice and coconut milk, which is wrapped in banana leaves and put into pieces of bamboo. The size of the bamboo is around 40 centimeters long. It is cooked by being heated upright around the fireplace for about 3 hours until cooked. After being cooked, the bamboo is split to remove the Kado Bulo, which is cooked and ready to be eaten with a sprinkle of serundeng, namely grated coconut which is fried without using oil vegetable in various spices. The tradition of Kado Bulo began in the era of the 9th king of Goa, namely Imatanre Karaeng Manguntungi Tumaparisi Kalona, who ruled in 1510 until 1546.
The tradition was stopped when the Makassar War occurred in 1666, which continued with the Dutch occupation until independence in 1945. This tradition was revived after Indonesian independence by the 36th King of Goa, as well as the first Regent of Goa Regency, Andi Ijo Daeng Matawang Karaeng, Lalolang Sultan Aidudin. He suggested that Kado Bulo was connected with the commemoration of Indonesia's Independence Day as a people's party. That was Indonesian Wonder for today about Kado Bulo tradition from South Sulawesi. Tomorrow we'll meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
You are still listening to Voice of Indonesia, COVID-19 Disaster Response Radio. From Indonesia to the world.
Di sini ku termenung memikirkan dirimu, jalani hari biru bersama versi kecil dirimu untuk memahami.
Sekarang Ashraf bersama dengan dengan Bunga Citra Lestari. Yang ku pikir tak ada, takkan ku tukar dengan apapun di dunia. Tak ku tahu kuatkah diriku untuk menerima jalani hidupku tanpamu. Terima kasih Tuhan kau telah berikan.
Well, listener, the next segment is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In this program, we'll introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio. We introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language and Book Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Apa Hobimu? In English, what is your hobby? Listen to this conversation about apa hobimu, which means what is your hobby. Kevin and Siti are chatting in the campus yard. Siti asks, "What activity does Kevin like?"
Apa hobimu, Kevin?
Aku suka menari.
Now I'm going to introduce some vocabularies and expressions related to the topic today. I will say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Apa hobimu? Apa hobimu, which means what is your hobby? Aku suka. Aku suka, which means I like. Menari. Menari, which means dancing or to dance. Hobby is a preferred activity and done in a spare time. When you want to ask someone about their preferred activities, you can ask them by saying apa hobimu? In English, what is your hobby? To respond the question, you can say your hobby such as menari, which means dancing, membaca buku, which means reading a book, berjalan-jalan, which means traveling, berbelanja, which means shopping, memasak, which means cooking. For example, in a conversation, apa hobimu, which means what is your hobby? Aku suka membaca, which means I like reading. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Apa hobimu, Kevin?
Aku suka menari.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition will be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
Indonesia, COVID-19 Disaster Response Radio. Stay at home, clean your hands, and follow your local health regulation.
isi hatimu semua telah tersirat di dua matamu. Simpan segala upaya untuk buatku percaya semua baik adanya. Terluka sendiri ku pendam segala rasa karena aku tak bisa mengarahkan cinta yang takkan pernah ada. Sudah
you are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz for Asian regions, 4750 kHz for European regions, and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner, about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, we will present a Keroncong song entitled Bandar Jakarta. The song Bandar Jakarta was composed by Iskandar. The song describes the beauty of the Jakarta beach in the evening when the sun set, fishermen's boat sails begin to open, the birds welcome the night and the waves breaking towards the Bay of Jakarta. The song has been sung by many Indonesian singers, both keroncong or pop singers such as Harvey Malaiholo. Unlike the previous singers, Harvey sings this song with a slightly faster tempo so that the atmosphere is more cheerful. Well, listener, let's listen to the keroncong song Bandar Jakarta by Harvey Malaiholo. Enjoy the song.
Indah Indonesia.
Diriku, jangan-jangan ku jodohmu. cinta padaku.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Keep listening to our program at www.voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 kHz for Asian regions or 4750 kHz for European regions. Don't forget to check out our Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram voice.of.indonesia. Also, send your reception report to VOI at voinews.id. I'm Putri Safiri Adalah. See you on the next English program.